as we come together on this evening, singing praises unto God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. As we find in many scriptures that in the end, each one of us is going to have to give an account of our lives unto God. The things in which we do, it is not for anyone else to stand before the judgment throne for us. And as we look at the title of the lesson on this evening, Man to Man, in the book of Joshua, as the scripture reading was read, that there were men that did things that were not pleasing unto God. As we go back and look at that scripture one more time before we back up to chapter 6, but in Joshua 7, the 15th verse, Joshua 7, the 15th verse, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. He and all that he hath, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man. And Zebdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah, was taken. A process. Define the individual that was responsible for taking the accursed thing. And I believe today, as we go about our lives, we can look at each family. We can narrow it down to the man that commits the sin. And the reason that we always want to point to the man is because each one of us is going to have to give an account of what we've done in this body, whether good or whether bad. Yes, there are families that will be punished because of the results of the sin of one, or they may suffer, shall I say. But I believe that as we look, we'll find that there was a reason why Israel went through what they went through. In chapter 6, we find that God had told Joshua that Jericho was theirs. Joshua chapter 6, starting with verse 1. In Joshua chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thee, unto thine hand, Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. I've given them to you, Joshua. They're yours for the taking. But you know, as God has promised us many things, he has said that he would give us many things. And we think about these things that God has promised to us, and we think about how great it's going to be that day we're with God in heaven. But just like any and everything, there's conditions that need to be met. And we're going to find, as we look at this lesson, talking about man to man, there are some conditions that we need to make, just as Joshua and the children of Israel were supposed to meet the conditions that God had given them. In verse 17 through 18 of that same chapter, Joshua chapter 6, he says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she has hid the messengers that was sent, that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." Here's the condition. You go in and you see this that you're supposed to have. You see this is what you're supposed to take. You're supposed to take the city. You're supposed to conquer the city. But of the accursed thing, he said, don't mess with it. Don't mess with it at all. He said, if you mess with that, you will be cursed as well. You know, the law needs to be given. The instructions need to be heard, and they need to be carried out exactly the way God intends for them to be carried out. But we always have that one that think that they know better than God. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what God says. He's not going to know what I'm doing. It's not going to bring shame upon anybody. But there were those that felt like this, and they violated the conditions. They knew better than God. And as we look at this lesson, we're going to see several people that thought they knew better than God. But Israel in particular here in Joshua chapter 7 verse 1, they found out the hard way that someone had done what God told them not to do. Yes, they went around that city as God told them, in 6 days I want you to compass around the city one time, and on the seventh day, seven times, and the trumpets are going to blow and the walls of Jericho are going to fall down. That's all good, isn't it? They saw this happening, but they thought, well, since that happened, I can go ahead and take what I want to take. And God is going to have to be okay with it. No, God does not have to be okay with it. It says here in Joshua 7, 1, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed thing, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zarai, and the tribe of Judah took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel." God was upset. I've showed you my power. I showed you my strength. All you have to do is do what I tell you, and everything is going to be all right. All you have to do is show up and do what I tell you. No, always that one want to have it their way. You know, as we look through the scriptures and we try to figure out why men are disobedient to God after God has showed mercy upon them, has shown his grace toward them, but yet they still want to be disobedient because of this sin that Achan committed. Verse 2, and Joshua sent there in verse 2 and said, "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which beside Beth Avon on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." You know what Joshua didn't know? Joshua didn't know what Achan had done. Joshua didn't know, instead of God fighting for Israel, that God would be on the side of Ai and that they would lose. He wouldn't lose many, but they would lose a few men. But that's not what Joshua expected. Joshua didn't expect to lose anybody. But because of them violating the conditions, they lost the battle. And as they lost the battle of Ai, I want you to see the men that they lost. And I want you to understand that it's not always about the number, but it's about the power of God and how God can make men fall short when they do not do what he is supposed to. Actually, men are doing it to themselves. Anita used to always say she worked in HR and people come in and we would always tease her about firing people. She said, no, I didn't fire anybody. She said, they fired themselves. See, these men, they lost the battle themselves because of what Achan had done. In verse 5, we're going to look at verse 5, then we'll go down to verse 13 as we look at this battle when he said, only take a few, you know, about 3,000 men. But look what it says in verse 5. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. 36 men. That's all they lost. They turned tail and they ran away from the battle. Well, God said they were ours. Why did we lose these 36 men? See, if you're doing what God tells you to do, there's no battle that you're going to lose. But here we find that somebody messed up. Somebody caused them to lose 36 men. It wasn't because of preparation. It was because of disobedience. But then you could even say that who made up in their minds to only take a few thousand? The battle was supposed to be Israel fighting against Ai, so all should have went. But even if all would have went, they still would have lost 36 men, because this is God's plan to show that if you do not do what I tell you to do, how I tell you to do it, you're not going to come out ahead. Joshua 7, verse 13. As he talks to Joshua about losing these 36 men, he tells him, up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. You're not going to succeed. You're not going to be able to rise above anybody until you get rid of the accursed thing, the thing I told you not to mess with. Until you fix that problem, you're not going to be able to stand. Sin in the camp. Do you find this happening in your lives? Do you find this happening in your families, that there are some things that are not going right, and you know the reason that they're not going right, but you're just trying to hold on? God say, you need to find that accursed thing and you need to get rid of it. Because I told you not to mess with it in the first place. But no, we have people that know better than God. But look again how Joshua handled this matter. Man by man. Man by man. And I want you to see how good Joshua is in this situation here. Let's drop down to the middle here. And it says, so Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. And the Bible didn't talk about any other tribe here, but it talks about the tribe of Judah. It said, and the tribe of Judah was taken. All tribes were brought before him, but it just specifying here, just shortening it a little bit. And the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took out the family of the Zerahites, and brought the family of the Zerahites man by man. Is it this one? Maybe it's this one here. Well, let's keep going. Let's go to, and the Zebdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man. Is it this one here? No, that's not the one. Oh, here he is right here. It's Achan, the son of Carmi. He's the one that took the accursed thing. And I want you to remember what he did with the accursed thing, why you find the destruction, not only of Achan, but of his whole family. He hid it in the midst of his tent. A lot of times when we take something, we try to hide it, or go hide it away from our house somewhere. When if the law come, they can, you know, search your house and they don't find anything. But this is not the case. Achan just had to go ahead and say, yeah, it was me. I took up the accursed thing and I hid it in the midst of my tent. And from that, we know that he was destroyed. He was killed. He was burned. And the cursed thing along with him. This is to bring order into what God wanted to happen in the first place. Leave the accursed thing alone. Here's the reason here. This is why Achan and his family was destroyed, because God does not tolerate sin. You know, many times in our lives we say, well, we can get away with this. You know, God, he's not going to hold that against me. See, that's denominational teaching. Oh, you're a Christian. You don't have to worry about living a perfect life. God is going to be tolerant with you in the end. He's going to allow you to get into heaven. No, he's not. No sin is going to be overlooked in the end. You're going to have to give an account of everything you've done in this body, whether good or whether bad. You're going to have to give an account. And if your life is full of sin and you die, heaven will not be your home. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. The soul who sins shall die. This is each man. You're going to have to give an account of your own. The Bible says that these souls belong to God. See, we think that, oh, this is my life. I can do what I want to with it. He says, no, it's not yours. It belongs to the Lord. And the soul who sins shall die. God is not going to tolerate sin. We go back to the book of Genesis chapter 3. We find that Adam and Eve, they ate of the fruit that was in the midst, from the tree that was in the midst of the garden. God said, don't eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. For the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. The old devil, oh, he knows best, don't he? No, he don't. Oh, you're not going to surely die. Go ahead and eat of it. And what did Eve do? Eve ate of the fruit and saw it was good and gave it to the man. And the man did eat too. God said, don't do it. Why do we think that when God says don't do something, that it's all right to do? When those that the Sabbath violators in Numbers chapter 15, 32, when God said don't do something and we go about our way and we say, I'm going to do it anyway. God is displeased. Numbers chapter 15, verse 32. Numbers 15, verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. No work to be done. Don't do anything. But they found this man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. What was supposed to happen to him? He was violating a command that God had given. And in the Old Testament, when you're violating a command that God gave up under the Mosaic law, you were supposed to be stoned. And what were the people going to say? Hey, don't do that. Quit doing it right now. Don't, no. Those people that saw him gathering those sticks, the Bible said they stoned him in verse 36. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. They didn't want their life to end. We're going to have to get rid of this Sabbath breaker. He violated the Sabbath, so let's stone him because of what the law says. We need to have people today that are willing to obey what God says. Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire unto the Lord. Now, they were priests. They had every right to offer fire to the Lord, but this was strange fire. You know what God did to them? He sent fire down from heaven and killed them. They were disobedient. God does not tolerate sin. What about Uzzah in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6? There the oxen carrying the Ark of the Covenant on flat ground, solid ground, upon the threshing floor. And the oxen tripped and the Ark began to shake. And Uzzah reached out to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And he died. But he meant well. God knew his heart. God knew that he didn't mean any harm. But you know what he did? He disobeyed God. He was not supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And we need to understand that today. Although we say that God knows our heart, yes, he does. But God wants you to know his heart as well. He do not want us to disobey him. No matter how good we think it sounds. God does not want us to obey him. So we need to make sure that we're doing what's right. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. when they sold a portion of their land and got together privately and decided that they were going to hold back a portion and give what they wanted to give, they lied unto God. God was displeased with that, and they died. Now, as we look at all these people, we look that God told Adam and Eve not to eat of that tree that was in the midst of the garden. But the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And we look at the Sabbath violator who was gathering sticks upon the Sabbath, died. Nadab and Abihu died. Ananias and Sapphira died. Uzzah died. All because of disobedience. Just think, if Adam and Eve had not ate of that tree that was in the midst of the garden, what would you and I be today? The rest, they were on their own. They were doing what they wanted to. All of them were doing what they wanted to do. But it was each man that had to give an account for his own violation, man by man. Mark chapter 13, verse 34. Mark chapter 13, verse 34. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. You watch now. Because each one of them went to do his own work. No one else's work but his own work. And I believe today that as we look through the scriptures, we find that there's some work that we must be doing. Each one of us. You can't get to heaven on anyone else's work. It's going to have to be your own work. How are you working? Or are you understanding that God is going to require your soul of you one day? Or are you understanding that God is not going to look at the work of this man over here and say, oh, we're going to let you in because of all that he's done? That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Each one of us is going to have to give an account. Each one of us. In Mark chapter 14, the verse is 8. Mark chapter 14, verse is 8. She had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And I believe a lot of times when we look at the work of other people, we're concerned about what they're doing. But as God was looking here and he was allowing Mary to do what she knew to be right and Martha was complaining, God said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She has wrought a good work on me, in verse 6. See, Martha was worried about the wrong thing. Martha should have been worried about what she was doing instead of what Mary was doing. And I believe today that's the problem with many people. We're worried about the next man and not worried about self. If Ananias and Sapphira, you know, hadn't have been, you know, so stingy with what they had, they would have continued to live. They would have been pleasing to God. But yet they lie. Let's look at ourselves today. And let's see if we are lying about anything or if we are worried about somebody besides ourselves. It's all right to be concerned. But a lot of times that concern turns into worry and God is not pleased with it. Every member is important and necessary. This is something that we need to understand as we talk about man to man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 15 through 22. Every member of the Lord's church is important. Let us never forget that. No member is any less important than the next member or more important than the next member. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 15 through 22. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if you were all one member, where was the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary. Each member of the Lord's body is necessary, just like each member of your body is necessary. Wake him up. Wake him up. It's necessary for us to do the things that we're supposed to do. And if we do not look after one another as being members of the body, what is going to happen to us? We're going to fade away. We're going to go off into the sunset, never to be seen again. So each member is important. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Now, who here thinks they're not important? Who here thinks that they're better than someone else? Who here has put themselves into a spot where they say, I'm not worthy to be amongst other Christians? If you fit any of those bills, you're in the wrong place. We need one another. We're all important one to another. We're all important to the work of the church. The Bible says, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ. We're looking at this morning in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer where it says, Thy kingdom come, where we found out this morning that the kingdom has already come, that instead of praying that the kingdom come, that the kingdom may grow, or we may be spiritually minded as we find in Scripture. That's the importance of the body. That's the importance of being members one of another, knowing that God one day is going to require our souls. So here's the question. What can I do? What can I do? You can sound forth the word. How do we sound forth the word? We teach others. We teach them the things that are important in life. We teach them the things so that they can go out and they can teach others about how they're supposed to govern their lives. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verses 2. See, this is something that we need to understand as being men of the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 2, as Paul was writing to Timothy here. Start with verse 1. It says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not depending on anything of yourselves, but in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard among me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is important. That we know that in order to be who we're supposed to be, we're supposed to do the things that God tells us to do. Faithful men. Not just any old man, but a faithful man. You teach them the things that are right. You don't pull a man, aside that's not faithful and say, hey, I want you to do this in order to live for God. No, that man needs to be faithful. And when we get him to the point where he's faithful, then we teach him the things in which he needs in order to teach others. But we have to get him faithful first. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. See, when we have a problem with people that are not faithful, when we have a problem with people not being who they need to be, we need to know what we need to do. For when the times ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one should teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and or become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. We teach them as the sayings of God. We teach them as the word of God. And we teach them these things because we know that this is important unto God. Not just to us, but unto God. See, we have some people, I listened to Sister LaTanya when I first came here, how she said and used to tell the story, still tell it about when she first became a Christian, how she put her name out there to teach classes. She just wasn't ready yet. She still needed to be taught. I seen where Sister Dominga even had put her name up there. It's been a new convert, ready to teach a class, but yet she still needs to be taught. See, we have some new converts that are ready to step up to the plate, where we need some old members that have been a member of the body of Christ that need to be on the plate. But when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. See, we need to sound forth the word. We need to teach the word of God the way it is written. Individual work. See, many times, instead of doing what we're supposed to do, we always want to rely on someone else. But what are you going to do when you find yourself alone? What are you going to do when you're out there and you're asked the question, how do I become a member of the Lord's church? And you say, well, let me go get this brother over here. Let me go get this sister over here. They know a whole lot more than I know. What do you know? What made you decide that you want to become a member of the Lord's church? We find here in the book of Acts, chapter 8, in the verses 4, remembering what Saul had been doing. You remember how Saul had stood there and watched Stephen being stoned and was given his consent. Do that. Stone him. He's not worthy to live because he's a child of God. Look what happened when they were scattered abroad. The Bible says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. What did they preach? They preached the word. They preached how salvation could be obtained. And this is what we need to be preaching today. So do you know your individual responsibility? Each man, he's going to be required one day to give an account of what he's done. In Acts chapter 18, verse 26, Acts 18, verse 26, as Apollos is striving to do the work of the Lord, Apollos has a problem, and his problem is going to be straightened out. Bible says in verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. It's not enough, is it? Baptism of John has been done away with. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been buried. Jesus has risen from the grave. Jesus has ascended into heaven to sit up on the right hand of the Father. But this is what Apollos is still teaching. And the Bible says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. That's an individual word. A lot of times we find people not teaching the word of God the way that they're supposed to be teaching, or shall I say, the way it is written. We need to pull them aside and we need to talk to them and say, hey, have you ever considered looking at it like this? This is what the scripture says. You can teach it like this instead of teaching it like that. Individual work. Aquila and Priscilla, they did those things. Then we find in the book of Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. And you older sisters, as long as you're doing your duties, that's a great thing. But when you stop doing what you're supposed to do, where's that going to leave our young ladies? Where's that going to leave our young sisters? We find in the book of Titus chapter 2, the verses 3 and 4, it said, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. The older women are supposed to teach the younger women. Well, a lot of times it's just the opposite. The older women are looking at the younger women for instruction. That's not the way the Bible says it. That's not the way God has it set in order. The older women are supposed to teach the younger women. And let us remember those things. Parents are supposed to teach their children. And as parents teach their children, they teach them the right things to do, not the wrong thing. They don't give them a backpack and tell them to go in that store and see how much they can stuff in it. They teach them the right things. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it said, Fathers, you know, a lot of times we leave it up to the mothers, don't we, to teach the children. It's both responsibility. But the Bible says, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke them to anger, don't provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. A lot of times we do it just the opposite. We try to make our children just as mad as we can make them. The Bible says that's not instructing your children. That's not teaching your children. We want to teach them the right things. We want to teach them the Word of God day in and day out. When they're laying down, we want to teach it to them. When they rise up, we want to teach it to them. When we're walking down the streets, we want to teach them the Word of God because we want them to fear God and keep His commandments. Sound forth the Word. Support the gospel preaching. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, see, it's important that we realize these things and we do what God says to be right. We find here in verse 14, as we talk about supporting the gospel preaching, 1 Corinthians 9:14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live by the gospel. This is supporting the gospel preaching. And then we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and we look at verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the verses 16. See, how important it is to understand what the gospel preaching is all about. How important it is to understand what our responsibility is to the gospel as we say it is the Word of God and we believe that it is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 1:16 says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. See, as Paul is writing these things, he's understanding what his responsibility is, and he wants others to understand what their responsibility is. Support the gospel preaching. Support the gospel preaching. Care for the sick and needy. How many of us are doing this? How many of us are taking time to call those that are sick or going by to visit those that are sick? Giving our time to help them out in their times of need. In the book of Galatians chapter 2 in the verses 10. Galatians chapter 2 in the verses 10. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which also was forward to do, which I also was forward to do. Paul said, I've done those things. I'm not ashamed. I'm ready to do what I'm supposed to do. Are you ready today? Are you ready to care and for the sick and the needy? See, here's the problem that we have in many cases. We don't even want to care for our own family members when they're sick, let alone care for someone else. See, we need to do the things that God tells us to do. Every man is going to be responsible for his own actions. You're not going to get to heaven on anyone else's doing but your own. Be hospitable. How many of us are willing to be hospitable? How many of us are willing to entertain strangers? How many of us are willing to help someone out in their times of need, invite them into our homes, and just to show them what Christianity is all about? By looking at our lives, people are going to know who Jesus Christ is sometimes. Hebrews chapter 13, the verses 2. Hebrews 13, the verses 2. He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Are you willing to entertain a stranger? Are you willing to help someone out when you see them on the side of the road and they need some assistance? Are you willing to pull over and help them? You say, not in today's society. What about when you're on the side of the road and it's hot outside and you're sweating and you're saying, man, I wish somebody will stop and help me. And you know what they're saying? Not in today's society. Mm-mm. So when you start doing what you're supposed to start doing, when you start doing what you're supposed to do, others will start doing what they're supposed to do. You do unto others as you will have them do unto you. As you wave at people and blow at them, as they're stranded on the side of the road, they're going to do the same thing for you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. The Bible says this woman is ready to be taken into the number. She's done what she's supposed to do. She's ready to be supported by the church. If she has done these things, if she haven't, she's not a widow indeed. She's a woman that needs some help. She's a woman that needs some instruction. She's a woman that needs to get back to doing what the Bible says. She needs to become hospitable. And last, as we talk about man by man, Or are you willing to be present at all services? And I know the ones that's here right now, you're not the ones I should be talking to about this part here, about this section. But it's our responsibility to go and tell others what their responsibility is if they're not doing it. You know, Sunday evenings, I know we come and we get up early on Sunday morning, we get ready, and we come to Bible study, and we sit through Bible study, and then we come to worship service, then we go home and eat, and then sometimes we get a nap, and sometimes we don't, and just don't feel like coming back on Sunday evenings because, you know, instead of preaching for 30 minutes, the preacher may preach for 40 minutes. And I have to suffer through that. What about those football games you go to? What about those basketball games you go to? You sit there and suffer through a sorry game, and then even when that game goes into overtime, you're still sitting there, scared to get up and go get some popcorn because somebody else may get your seat. Or what about those long movies that you watch, and you know, and you back it up because you missed a part, and then you sit there and you watch it again, and then you have to back it up when someone else comes in the room and explains to them what's happening, but you don't miss a minute of that movie, but yet you don't mind missing part of the worship service. What's the problem? Are you willing to be present at all services? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3. We always go to Hebrews chapter 10, but let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. And let's look at verse 12 and 13. See, we have some people that want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. You know, I like to listen to Brother Shelton talk about when he became a Christian, he has not missed a Lord's Day worship service. A Lord's Day. Now, he may miss some gospel meetings times, but not a Lord's Day service. Can the rest of us say that since we became Christians, that we have not missed a day? I can't say it. Can you say it? What about when you're able, though? When you're able, when you're not out of town, or when you're not, you know, sick or something of that nature, are you willing to be sitting amongst the saints? Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another, lift one another up. Today is the day. Not tomorrow. We may not live to see tomorrow. Today is the day. Oh, I don't feel like going to worship tomorrow. I need to get some rest in order to get up early Monday morning and go to work. There's a problem with that. You know what the problem is? You're giving more, you know, insight or more emphasis on man than you are God. He don't like that. He wants you to come together. He wants you to gather around with other saints, as we do find in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, considering one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Considering one another. See, this is what we need to do. We need to consider Brother Glenn, and we need to think about Brother Glenn, and we need to be able to provoke Brother Glenn not to do anything wrong, but to do something good unto love and to good works. Are you willing to do that? See, Brother Theodos wasn't here this morning for us to provoke him unto love and to good works, but he's here this evening. That's a good thing, and we're here to gather together with him so that he may partake of the Lord's Supper. See, a lot of times people miss out. They miss out because they want to miss out. Are you willing today to have God call your name? Are you willing today to be ready to give up the ghost? That many will say, yes, I'm ready. But will you spend your eternity in heaven come judgment? If not, why not? Each man is going to have to give an account of what he has done in his body, whether good or whether bad. Are you ready? Today is the day for us to say, Lord, I want to live for you for the rest of my life. And when we fall short, I didn't say if, when we fall short, because many of us will, we need to know that God is waiting on us to come back. So maybe you're here and you're not a child of God and you're ready to become one. Don't hesitate. Don't put off until tomorrow. Come today. Come this evening. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away in the water of your baptism. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away from the fold. Do not stay out there. come back. Ask the church to pray for you that you may be strengthened. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to come, man by man.